ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Well, it is with great honor that we welcome a very special guest to our microphones. First is Brother Johnny, of course, here in Champaign-Urbana for the weekend. Johnny, how are you?
Great, Stevie.
Mike Ditka in Chicago. Coach, how are you?
Doing good. Thank you, Steve.
Great to have you. And ladies and gentlemen, special guest, it is the governor of the great state of Wisconsin. It's Scott Walker. Governor, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm great. The sun's out. It's a beautiful day.
Well, it's great having you on, Governor Walker. You met my brother Johnny a month or so ago with Bobby Jindal.
Well, Governor, we sure thank you for coming down and supporting the governor of Louisiana and you good guys sticking together. Of course, he's trying to keep his budget under control down there. So thanks for that.
Hey, my pleasure. Bobby's a great guy, great leader. We admire him very much. And the only time we won't get along probably is this Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. You got New Orleans playing the Packers, which brings me to issue number one, Mike Ditka. There's last night in Cleveland, the standing ovation for the referees. It was loud and boisterous.
Green Bay Packers guard T.J. Lang, who after that debacle on Monday night and gained 90,000 followers overnight. His tweet last night was retweeted 78,000 times, which is apparently a record. He wrote, quote, good to see the regular refs coming back. I'm sure the scabs are disappointed. They have to return to their jobs at Foot Locker.
Governor Walker, too late for the pack. What the heck?
Yeah, Tuesday morning I was at a breakfast with a bunch of governors, and I think everybody there commiserated me telling me it was a bad call. It was probably because the governor of Washington State wasn't with us, but it was pretty clear. Everybody in America, I even talked to a bunch of Bears fans who said that was a raw deal, so it was amazing. I thought for sure, I was at this gathering, it was actually down in Georgia of all things, so I was at a bar after I got done speaking on Monday night watching the game. A lot of Packers fans down there. And I was so calm and confident when they called it a touchdown because I said there is no way, given the time of the booth, they're not going to reverse that call. And then, of course, like everybody else, sat there stunned. So thank God the refs are back.
Mike, what's your take?
Well, you know, they got it wrong, and then they got it right, wrong, you know, otherwise the play should have been dead immediately. You know, it was evident that the kid pushed him. The official was standing under the back judge, should have said side judge, whatever it was. He should have seen that immediately. The play should have been dead at that point, and it wouldn't have came down to a possession call. The rule is simultaneous possession goes to the offense, but I think the offensive guy had the ball. I think the Packer guy had the ball, and then the defensive guy had the ball, and the offensive guy from the other team kind of wrestled it away from him, the Seattle team. So, I don't know. It's good to see the other guys back. I think you saw, and I didn't watch the whole game last night. I apologize because I thought it was really not a good football game, but that's only my opinion. But, so the officials were good. What I saw of them, they were really good in the first half.
Well, Governor, as a Saints fan, of course, we are going to Green Bay Sunday. That was our last hope, was the replacement officials. I don't.
yeah, exactly. I had a number of folks tell me before the game on Monday night, be careful about the Saints because, you know, they're looking for a rebound. They're due for a win. They've had a number of tough games. In fact, I had watched on Sunday, you know, Wisconsin, everything's tuned to the Packers. So when you don't have a Packers game, it's like a potpourri of all the different games out there.
Right.
My boys and I went to Dave and Buster's and sat and watched every game possible. So we watched that Saints game as well. And we thought they kind of got a raw deal, but it's nothing that directly cost a game like that. So
yeah, right.
I think the same thing's probably going to be true as well. As Coach knows, sometimes a game like that can be just the sort of motivation a team needs. And obviously here in Wisconsin, our hope is the Packers use that to motivate themselves to go into the Super
Bowl. Governor, I don't think the Packers need any motivation. I think that it will inspire them a little bit more. They realize now put them a game behind. And, Mike McCarthy's a great coach, and you got a great quarterback. You got a great team up there, really. So I expect them to bounce back. Everybody's kind of jumping panic right now. The Patriots have lost two games. The Packers have lost two games. Listen, good football teams respond. That's all I can tell you.
All right.
The good news for us guys was that who would have thought this, but even in this last game, our shining moments came more or less from our defense, something we were more worried about coming into this season.
Yeah, they play great.
Coach is right. I think Aaron Rodgers steps up, and he's got plenty of great receivers. He'll look good.
All right, Governor Walker, I think you wanted to ask Coach Mike Ditka a question regarding 2004 and how he could have altered history had he decided to run for senator of the state of Illinois.
Oh, yeah. Think about how amazing America would be today if Mike Ditka was the senator from the great state of Illinois and instead of the guy who's sitting in the White House right now. You could have changed the course of history there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I could have, but if I had to do it over again, I sure as hell would have tried. I really don't know. I mean, it's pretty appalling to me, and you know, I'm pretty outspoken about it. Right's right, wrong's wrong. Leadership is leadership, and if you're not a leader, then basically, you know, I say one thing: when you have no platform to run on, just run the other guy's platform down, and that's basically what's happening.
All right, issue one. Issue two, Leon Panetta, Secretary of Defense.
The reason I think it pretty clearly it was a terrorist attack is because a group of terrorists obviously conducted that attack on the consulate and against our individuals. What terrorists were involved, I think, still remains to be determined by the investigation.
All right, the question, we'll begin with Brother Johnny. Why has the White House, best case, been reluctant, worst case, covered up the terrorist attack in Benghazi?
I don't know, Steve. It's hard to answer. But my speculation is that, you know, we got Osama bin Laden, and there's been a kind of a successful area, his terrorism, and you want to give that up now. So they're just saying, well, let's wait and see. So I don't know. Governor Walker might have a better idea on that.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what Coach just said, that it's all about leadership, whether it's about the economy, whether it's about the budget. In this case, whether it's about national security and foreign policy, I think there's a real reluctance for them to lead. And to me, it was pretty clear. Even, I think, Secretary of State Clinton, as well as the Secretary of Defense, everybody there knew what it was. It was a terrorist attack. We should have taken appropriate action in that regard. We should have stepped up and been serious about it. And I think had that happened, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, at a point like that, all of us would have supported the president when we're under attack, whether it's here or anywhere else around the world.
Yeah, it was pretty provocative. And I think that, you know, backing away from it and not really confront some of these situations over there. I had an opportunity, and I sat and watched a whole speech to the United Nations of Netanyahu, or the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu. And I want to say that what a great man and what a great speaker, and people everywhere in the world should have listened to him. Now, I don't know who did listen to him. I don't know who paid attention to him. But by God, the people in Iran had better pay attention to him, because this guy, he's a real deal now. And I don't care how big or small Israel is, but they'll be able to handle their own business, believe me.
From yesterday.
Throughout our history, the Jewish people have overcome all the tyrants who have sought our destruction. It's their ideologies that have been discarded by history. The people of Israel live on. We say in Hebrew, Am Yisrael Chai. And the Jewish state will live forever. To understand what the world would be like with a nuclear-armed Iran, just imagine the world with a nuclear-armed Al-Qaeda. A red line should be drawn right here. Before Iran completes the second stage of nuclear enrichment necessary to make a bomb.
ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3, Brother Johnny, Governor Scott Walker from Wisconsin, Mike Ditka in Chicago, Governor Benjamin Netanyahu is serious. Are we as serious as he is here in the U.S.?
Well, we certainly should be. I mean, they've been our allies. They're our friends. They're about the only friends, true, long-term, sustainable friends we have anywhere in the Middle East. And as he mentioned, you know, whether it's Iran or it's like Al-Qaeda, anywhere in the world, they certainly are not our friends. Remember years ago after 9/11, 11 years ago, right after all that happened, and one of the most memorable speeches I remember was Tony Blair, then Prime Minister of in England. He came out and gave a speech and talked about how the British people were going to stand with America because America stood with them. Thinking back to both World War One and World War Two, and in their darkest hour, talking about who stood with them as the American people, and they weren't going to forget that. When we have friends in the world, when we have allies like Israel, we can't forget back down when there's a little bit of pressure there, because when the chips are down, they're going to support us as well. We need to be stronger in that regard.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, we'll never know, because we can't go back in history, but it would be interesting for this rhetoric to be going on when President Reagan was president. And, I mean, to me, you know, leadership, putting your foot down, saying no, stop it, you know, is my word, stop it, just stop it. And I think it would have been. And I think, you know, sometimes you have to lead from a position of authority and power instead of weakness and condescending attitudes. And I think that's basically what we're trying to do right now. You can't please everybody. You better do the right thing for America.
I think that's right. It's just the urgency isn't there, and maybe the commitment's question. Of course, that encourages your opponent. So,
yeah. All right, on the campaign trail yesterday, we heard this.
He stood up at a rally, and he proudly declared, "I'll get the job done from the inside." Which got me thinking, what kind of inside job are you talking about? Because if it's the inside job of rubber stamping the top-down, lobbyist-driven agenda of this Republican Congress, we don't want that.
All right, let's talk about the world 4 years from now. If Barack Obama wins, what's it look like? If Mitt Romney wins, what's it look like, Governor Walker?
Well, Mitt Romney wins, I think you create an environment where the private sector, the people of this country, can create at least 12 million new jobs. They said that, you know, the choice in this election is pretty stark. You've got the president and his allies who believe success in government is measured ultimately by how many more people are dependent on the government. They believe in the federal government. They believe in the power of the federal government. And they believe that the government's going to be the one that sustains us and moves us forward. But the track record is that hasn't worked. The last 4 years, we've seen the unemployment rate, 43 months unemployment above 8%. Sadly, I think that continues. You see 23 million of our fellow Americans looking for work today, and that just hasn't worked. In contrast, Mitt Romney's got a clear plan, going across the base, helping small businesses grow, helping get the talent we need plugged into those jobs, helping make sure we tap into North American energy supplies that we have right here instead of pushing it off elsewhere and becoming more dependent on foreign oil. Those are things that put people to work right here in the Midwest, right here in the United States. And ultimately, I think that's a clear contrast. Mitt Romney, instead of believing in the government, he puts his faith in the hardworking taxpayers, the people who are entrepreneurs. And like Ditka talked about Ronald Reagan, it worked a generation ago. Remember, Ronald Reagan's economic stimulus was about cutting the marginal tax rate, putting money back in the hands of the American people. After he did that, when it was fully enacted, we had the longest peacetime economic growth in American history. We can do it again with the right president.
Well, I'll tell you, it's true, and the difference would be stark, I think. One thing I wanted to ask Governor Walker, Stevie, is I've seen such an assault on Romney. About the only time I've ever seen anything like it was with you, Governor, when they went after you with everything they had. And I just wondered what you thought of that. And then I wanted to ask you, because I think I remember the polls being pretty tight, and you won by 10 points. So those two questions.
Yeah, we won in the latter bit. It was tight even on the night of the election. The exit polls had us tied, and we ended up winning by more votes and a higher percentage than we did 2 years ago.
Amazing.
Simple.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so
when people ultimately, when the chips are down, they don't just want Republican or Democrat leadership. They want leadership, and they don't get it out of Washington. They're not getting it out of this president. They want somebody to step up and do something about it.
Well, I just want to interrupt for 1 second and just say something. I'm going to read something again that I read before on the air. You cannot help the poor by destroying the rich. You cannot keep out of trouble by spending more than you earn. You cannot build character and courage by taking away a man's initiative and independence. And you cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves. That's Abe Lincoln, 1861. Figure it out, gang.
Here,
we
here.
It right. It's still right. It'll never be wrong. It's what it is.
Yeah.
You get people depending on the government. That's what they depend on, the government. They don't want to work. They don't want to work. This country was built on initiative and independence and people who were willing to go out and sweat and work and make a living and come home and support a family. And then that's not happening, gang. People don't care about that because they know Big Brother will take care of them.
Governor, why wouldn't, if you got 55% of the vote in a very contentious, you know, get rid of Governor Walker vote, why couldn't Wisconsin go 55 for Romney Ryan?
Well, I still think he can win. I told Governor Romney, I told Mitt right after my election, come to Wisconsin, come here often, obviously we're still one of those battleground states, but come here often. But don't just have the RNC name stand for Republican. Have it stand for Reformer. You know, the difference between what we did and what the president's trying to do, both of us as incumbents, but very different philosophies, is he's running from his record. We ran on our record. We talked about the $1 billion worth of savings. We talked about property taxes going down for the first time in 12 years. We talked about taking a budget deficit, one of the biggest in our state's history, and turning it into a surplus with money aside in a rainy day fund. We talked about losing more than 100,000 jobs and unemployment above 9% just a couple years ago, and now having dropped down early this year to the lowest unemployment we've had in 4 years. Those are sharp contrasts with what we see in Springfield with the government that's going down there, where it's been higher taxes, bigger layoffs, bond ratings going down, pension system, worst fund in the country. Ours is just the opposite. We've been on the uptick. Bottom line is we ran on our record because we had a positive record. Barack Obama, as President of the United States, has been running from his record because he's got nothing. He's got no plan. His plan hasn't worked. He's got no vision for the future. The only way he gets elected is if he can spend enough time and money beating the snot out of Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, and I think Americans deserve better than that.
Well, negative advertising works. We see it time after time after time. I know Mitt Romney has plenty of money. Are we going to see an onslaught in these battleground states of these television ads going the other way?
Well, I think you're going to start to see an even clearer definition of what Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan have to offer, because you're right, attacks work to a certain degree, but eventually for people to pull the trigger and make a choice as to who they're going to vote for, they ultimately can't just vote against something. They've got to vote for something. I think it is clearly apparent, if you're anybody paying attention to anything to do with the economy, anything to do with the budget problems in Washington, those two issues alone show that this president has failed. For people who thought they were voting for Bill Clinton 4 years ago, instead of Bill Clinton, that they've seen in the end, they're getting more Jimmy Carter, because the budget's not balanced and the economy's not better, and certainly foreign policies, much like it was in 1979, we need to do as Americans what we did back then, is put in a new visionary, optimistic president who'll get this country working again.
All right, 10 till 8, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Governor Scott Walker here for about 5 more minutes, ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. All right, early voting began yesterday in Illinois and Iowa. Johnny sent me a clip earlier in the week that showed just how easy in some states, particularly Minnesota, you can get a stack of ballots and fill them out with nobody's ID, nobody's notarized signature, anything. And I don't understand why it's not election day and why it's election month, Mike. Why are we having a month to vote?
I'm not sure I understand all that either. I mean, I say when you got no record to run on, the only thing you can do is run down the other guy's record. And I think this is really typical of what he's doing. He has no rhetoric, but you know, everybody got all upset in the media, which is a joke, about the 47%. I mean, you know, let me say honestly, and I'm not governor, and I'm not that intelligent, but the majority of the people in this country know who they're going to vote for. It's that certain group of people that they're trying to get. And this guy is, you know, whatever you want to say about him, he is a sugar-coated candy speaker. I mean, as far as that goes, he knows what to say to get these people that are on the middle of the fence. And that's what he's doing. And even though we know it's lies, and we know there's no truth to it, no fact to it, it's all fiction, but they don't know that. That's what they hear. Hey, this guy's going to do this. Well, what did he do for 4 years? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, Steve.
No, Coach is right. Coach is right. I mean, the bottom line is that's why he's beating down the other side. That's why he's got these distortions. I mean, you talk about these ads that somehow claim that taxes go up for the middle class. It's just not true. But more importantly, if people are looking for work, whether they're unemployed or underemployed today, where do people think jobs come from? They certainly don't come from the government, because the so-called stimulus was supposed to get us below 8% unemployment. We've had 43 months of just the opposite. But in the end, you put more money back in the hands of the American people, particularly entrepreneurs. What do most small business people do if they get a little bit more money back instead of sending it to the government? They put it right back into their businesses. They plow it into new equipment, new capital investments, which ultimately put more people to work. Someone's listening right now wondering who they should vote for. Wouldn't you want to vote for the person who's going to make it more likely you get a job? That person is not the guy who's failed at that for the last 4 years. that person is Mitt Romney.
Oh, business owner John. John, what do you say about Isaiah? Is the governor right?
100%. That's where the money goes is to build the business. And if you have to send it the cash in, then you can't hire a person and you can't buy a new crane. But, Governor, back to the voting and the early voting, can Wisconsin control that? It bothers me with 30 days because I've always been a little suspect of the process in some areas.
Oh, well, that's a good example. We tried for over 10 years. In fact, I pushed it for years and finally signed the law earlier this past year, voter ID, a simple requirement. Whether it's a state-issued ID card, which you can get for free in our state if you ask for it, or a driver's license issued by the state, as is often the case, is an activist judge threw it out, and so we're in court right now, and it won't be resolved before the election. But we thought we had not anything perfect, but we thought we had a pretty good solution for making sure we protect the integrity of the vote. And you know, I think we were talking earlier about foreign policy for a second there. I think about all these emerging democracies around the globe and how many people not only stand in line sometimes for hours, but how many people in many cases are risking their own personal well-being by willing to vote in a free election, what they're willing to do. Remember those images of the purple ink on people's fingers when they were voting, and yet, you know, we have to have, you know, endless weeks of early voting to get people to do it because not enough people will show up. I think it is a right and a privilege for us to be able to vote, and it's something that, you know, we should be taking very seriously and protecting.
All right, final issue before we let all of you go. It's Ryder Cup time in Medina. Rory McIlroy talking about intimidating Tiger.
How can I intimidate Tiger Woods? I mean, it's not, I mean, you know, the guy's got 75 or 70 whatever PGA Tour wins, 14 majors. I mean, he's been the biggest thing ever in our sport. So, I mean, how can some little 23-year-old from Northern Ireland with a few wins come up and intimidate him? I mean, it's just not possible.
Europe has won 6 of the last 8 Ryder Cups, Mike. Can USA and Medina pull this off on the home court?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. They're playing a great golf course. I played it this summer. And I'm no good anymore, don't get me wrong, but it's a phenomenal place. I think the greens will be terrific with this weather. You know, these guys, I'm just watching it. I'm sitting here watching it now while listening to your conversations, and it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough on both teams, believe me. You miss a couple shots, you're going to get in trouble.
Governor, what do you say?
I can't even fathom the idea of anybody intimidating.
Me neither.
No. No one's ever going to intimidate Tiger. Believe me.
Well, I hope that it's going to be a real boisterous crowd. I was up there Wednesday, practice day, Mike. 45,000 there for practice day.
Well, I don't get it, but that's too many people for me.
John, what do you mean? I mean, Europe's been pretty dominant this
year. Well, hey, that golfers are good everywhere, and yeah, they've been dominant, but we've always got a chance because we got some great golfers. But intimidating Tiger Woods. Forget about it. Forget about it. Just try to out-putt him, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, Governor, it's been a real honor having you join the guys here today, and I hope you can come back sometime. And we certainly respect and admire how you've stood up to what your principles are. You've been a true leader in the great state of Wisconsin.
Well, thanks, and I got to tell you, most of all, I'm happy the refs are back because now we can just play football in Wisconsin all across America.
Well, good luck, Sunday. Thanks a lot, Governor. Thanks,
Mike. Nice talking to you, Governor. God bless.
God bless you. Thanks so much.